I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the All by the Popcorn podcast. I'm Alessandra.
And I'm Emily.
And today we are talking about the next movie on our roulette wheel. We started several years ago, but we're still doing it because it's fun. So we watched Pan's Labyrinth from 2006, directed by Guillermo del Toro.
Yes, I had never seen this movie, but I heard some people watched this when they had Spanish class, like in high school. Is that true?
I feel like I was one of those people.
Is that, yeah, I think one of my roommates did. Or knew someone who did. I think I watched a different movie for Spanish class, and I cannot remember what it was, but it definitely was not Pan's Labyrinth, because I don't like scary movies. I still don't like scary movies. I will watch them if they are critically acclaimed, but like this one.
Like, well, we certainly know you didn't watch Y Tu Mama Tambien with the same actress Maribel Verdú, because that would be way too sexual for high school.
No, I did not watch that one. I don't. The only Spanish movie I remember watching, it was not for Spanish class. I was like hanging out at a friend's house, and we watched The Orphan, or like The Orphanage or something.
Oh,
and
that's a scary movie.
It was so scary. I had nightmares for so long. Oh my goodness. I remember being so scary. That was not for Spanish class. That was just because my friends were crazy and we wanted to get scared, apparently, which I hate. So it's fine.
Well, this is a very creepy and violent movie.
I don't hang out with them anymore. So
yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay.
But yes, it was your first time watching this, Pan's Labyrinth, and what did you think? Did you like it?
I thought there was going to be more stuff happening in, like, the fantasy area. Like, I thought the thing with the eyeballs on its hands was, like, had a bigger part for some reason. I didn't know that we were going to be seeing this, this faun, or, you know, whatever, this, Mr. Tomness character.
Yes.
creepy ass Mr. Tomness. I was pleasantly surprised at like everything. There was like war going on, and there were like some rebels or something. Wasn't entirely sure what was happening, like on like the reality end of everything, or if this fantasy stuff even happened, or if like this girl was just kind of imagining it. So that was kind of interesting too. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was really good though. I thought the makeup was super awesome. I thought the production design was really good. I guess I just thought it was going to be more fantasy related, and it wasn't. I was surprised at how simple it was, it seemed. Mm-hmm. Except for the war stuff. The war stuff got a little complicated with, you know, the torture and stuff like that. But it was also pretty scary. The guy with the eyeballs on his hands, very scary. Yeah. Was very
iconic.
Scary.
You know?
Still scary.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So frightening. I mean, I definitely remember it being this dark and kind of creepy. You know, you kind of know it's going to happen as soon as the main character Ophelia like gets out of the car, wanders off on her own, and then sees that bug come out of the mouth of that like rock and is like, I saw a fairy. And I'm like, that girl, that's the scariest bug I've ever seen. And you're not frightened of it at all.
She's like, calling this thing a fairy. And I'm like, that is not a fairy. That is an apocalyptic bug.
I mean, those bugs exist. But it was scary. And it would just like make these chittery noises and stuff. I felt like I could hear your voice saying, like, every time she would do something, like, Ophelia would, like, do something that she probably shouldn't have done, like, crawl into that tube underneath the tree, the tunnel with all the bugs and all, getting all dirty. I could just hear your voice go, girl!
I did say that a lot during this movie. Yeah. So you're very right. I was saying girl so many times during the part where she has to make the chalk door and the guy was like, don't eat anything. And then she goes for those grapes and I was like, girl?
Girl? I know. And like, she's a young girl, so it's like, everything she does, she's just very, like, she kind of is imagining, in a sense, this kind of world where things make more sense to her, because her reality is so grim.
Yeah, we start the story with her talk, like, there's, like, a fairy tale being told, like, narrated, I think, by the girl or by someone, about a princess who... Mm-hmm. You know, left her realm, and the king's been looking for her, like, ever since. And then, you know, we see the girl in the car with her pregnant mother, like, with all these books, and she's like, why'd you bring so many books? Which, for one, that was not very many books. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the fairy. So, yeah, this girl was definitely trying to escape her current reality, which was very depressing. Like, her mom was pregnant, but also sick.
Super pregnant. Yeah. Like, super gonna fragile. Die, clearly. Like, yeah.
Like, oh, so God. Bad. Like, she was gonna break any second. And then, you know, she meets her mom's, like, new husband, and he's, like, an asshole. And it's just...
That's an understatement, honestly. He's a monster.
It's a serious understatement. This guy was horrible. Absolutely terrible. And they're, like, in this creepy house, and there's, like, a bunch of, like, you know, guns going off and people shouting, because, you know, it's in the middle of some skirmish that's happening, like, this war that's happening. So it's scary, and I could definitely see her just wanting to separate from reality by kind of following this fairy tale storyline that she kind of gets dropped into.
Yeah, and it's that aspect of it that really makes it kind of a special, beautiful movie, because it's kind of bringing you into the more fantastical realm while simultaneously dealing with a very specific skirmish situation during the Spanish Civil War. Mm-hmm. Even though they said the war's over, it's still kind of like the people are still fighting against the military.
Yeah.
So it is like a very kind of gruesome time in history, gruesome time and place, but also kind of vague enough that you're not like, it's not like anything specific, like a specific time and place, you know?
Right.
So it's kind of like a general, which is why people kind of call this a fairy tale, because it's got that aspect to it. And I personally think it's the best of Guillermo del Toro's movies. Like, of all the movies I've seen, I think this one is the best one. Like, it is, and it's also one of the best movies of the decade, for sure.
Yeah, I do agree. It was very good. I may personally enjoy... Oh, I always forget that he does Hellboy. I really love Hellboy. Personally, I might like Hellboy or Heated Shape of Water, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I might But I also need to rewatch Shape of Water because it's been a long time. But the Hellboy movies, the original ones with Ron Perlman are, they're very special. I
really like them a lot. Special to your heart, yes.
Yeah, I don't even know why I like them so much. They're just so, like, that's why I like Guillermo. He really gives you a fun little world to just, like, drop you into and lots of fantasy and lots of fun stuff. But yeah, even though this Fawn guy was very scary, I did like his look. He was a vibe. Like he was an aesthetic, and I really enjoyed it.
Like made out of vines and stuff.
Yeah, like made out of like trees, it seemed, you know, very very like earthy. He lived in this like dank pit with some fairies. Yeah, when the girl showed the bug what a fairy looks like and it morphed, I was like, oh god. And I just,
oh no, yeah.
They
yeah.
were just so this movie actually wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be. Maybe because I'm older, maybe because whatever. I think, you know, I still get scared about some things. The scarier parts, other than the guy with the eyeballs for hands, that guy was terrifying. there was just some, like, I guess it's more like body horror type of stuff. Like there was some very gruesome torture, and like medical procedures that had to be done. Which also just really, and you know, going in, I knew this movie was going to be a little spoopy. So I was just waiting. I guess I was preemptively, like my body was just pre-tensing when I think something scary would happen. But looking back, it really wasn't that bad.
The captain was just really gruesome. So pretty much everything that involved him was just a lot of blood and a lot of, like, you know, smashing people's noses in and stabbing them and
shooting them in the head. When he killed those two just farmer guys just out hunting rabbits, I was like, and it happened so early in the movie, I was like, okay.
Yeah. It set the stage for this terrible man to exist, and you're like...
He really did.
Okay.
And I really didn't need to see this guy's nose just be bashed into his face. It really didn't.
I think that's just part of the, you know, that's part of the story of the movie, and, like, it is kind of artfully... Yeah, it's part of the vibe. Like, you need to see how violent it is in reality so that when she goes into this other kind of reality, it's somehow, like, less intense. But it's also, like, scary because she has to, like, prove herself that she's the princess. And in the end, she, like, saves her brother, but doesn't... It's not really, like, clear that that's really what the stakes are happening. Like, it's kind of, like... makes, you know, whatever you want to believe, but she kind of dies in a happy state. Which, did it shock you that she got murdered in the end?
So, no, because we kind of saw a clip of her already dead in the beginning. Like, we saw a child who was dead in the beginning of the film. And the second I, you know, saw her on the ground, again, kind of in that similar position, I was like, oh, yeah, this is a scene from the beginning. She dies. And then, you know, she sees her fantasy parents, and then she kind of seems to die with a smile on her face. So, and then I was like, oh, maybe none of this ever happened. Because you're kind of questioning it from the beginning, because when you first meet Mercedes, she's like a helper in the house. She cooks and, you know, does various chores for the captain. And when the fairy's trying to lead Ophelia to the labyrinth opening, Mercedes kind of, like, stops her. And she's like, hey, how about you go inside and don't go in there? As if Mercedes kind of knows about that area and maybe has experienced it in the past, almost. But then, I don't know. And then at the very end... I don't think it ever actually happened. I think the little girl just made it all up. But no, I wasn't surprised. To answer your original question.
Well, are you happy that you watched it?
Yeah, I'm really happy. I really like I really like Guillermo. I really like his stuff. Except for Nightmare Alley. But he has another one. He has another movie coming out pretty soon.
He also has that one with the kaijus. I always forget. Pacific Rim. He made that as well.
Oh, I never watched that. I hear good things about that.
All right, well, maybe it's in our
Cabinet
future.
Of Curiosities. Isn't that the thing that I was... Ooh, he's going to make a Pinot... He's going to make a Pinot Shishio? Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you see the trailer for it? It's a Disney... I think it's a Disney one. Or I could be wrong, actually. They're making two. There's his version, and then there's Disney. And they came out with the Disney trailer already. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks as Geppetto?
Geppetto!
Geppetto!
Remember the Italian Pinot Shishio? Do you remember?
It's hard to forget, Alessandra.
Oh, it's so hard to forget.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, dang! I want to watch Pacific Rim now.
Okay, put it on the roulette wheel.
I actually did watch I did watch because Anton Yelchin was a voice in Trollhunters was like one of the last things he worked on before he died.
Yes.
I had watched Trollhunters. I think up until they had to replace his character's voice, I believe, and then I kind of stopped watching. But it's crazy how far that series has gone. It was a pretty good series. I enjoyed watching it. I don't know why I stopped.
I didn't watch that.
Got
but
a
I remember.
Convoluted, maybe.
yeah.
I got some other Guillermo stuff to watch. Dang. Okay.
Dang.
That's fine. Dang. What else? I don't remember much about the music. In the movie.
Oh, it has great music. I remember the music.
Yeah. I'm sure
it's a very
sure it
good
does.
Score. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Really eerie and...
I'll agree with you because I don't remember any of it.
You never remember the music.
I never.
It
really just makes the picture for me that it just... I get so enthralled in what's happening. The music really provides the ambiance and I don't acknowledge it. I just experience it.
Sure. And like, that's exactly right. Like if it puts you in that space, in that headspace that it needs to be to align with the visuals and the, you know, content and everything else, it's like, it's perfect, right? Like it's kind of like a totally, like this movie really does succeed. And as you were saying, like with everything it tries to do, it honestly is very good. Like it basically does everything that you want it to do, and it closes the story out really well, and it doesn't really, like, you know, I think you wanted a little bit more of the fantasy world, but it just kind of has that like perfect balance in my opinion, just kind of with the horrors of this little girl's life.
It yeah, kind of with how like much with how that. Much fantasy was offered, it definitely makes sense that that was just an expectation I had going in because I just thought I thought this movie was just about a girl being kind of like Labyrinth, just being stuck in this area for a majority of the movie.
She exists in reality and then just kind of like at nighttime goes into this other place. The guy who plays the fawn and also the man with eyes on his hands, is played by Doug Jones, who...
Both of them?
I think so. I think he's both of them. And he was like, let's see, like well known. He's very well known for all of his more physical acting. I mean, he does voice acting now and stuff too, like in his characters acting, but he does like a lot of prosthetic work. So he just like is always in these really awesome, huge, because he's very tall. Actually, we saw him on the street at Comic-Con once. I think our last Comic-Con.
We were checking out like a Star Trek exhibit. And I think there was, or we were near some sort of Star Trek exhibit. And I think the cast of Discovery was like in the area, like leaving an interview or a panel or something or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, we saw him. He was taking pictures of people. He was very tall.
I think he's in almost
every Guillermo movie. Mm-hmm. Almost. I don't think he was in Nightmare Alley.
I don't think so, but there really wasn't like...
There really wasn't much of prosthetics, too much, or anything.
Yeah, but he's also a main character now in Star Trek Discovery, and you watch that, right?
Yes, I probably need to rewatch it because I watched it so quickly that I don't think any of the information stuck. But I got the first two seasons in.
And he's also the Baron in What We Do in the Shadows. So.
Oh, that's right!
And he's going to be in Hocus Pocus 2 because he's Billy.
Yes, he's Billy!
He's in so many things. Like, if you haven't looked up Doug Jones's, like, amazing filmography.
Just take a gander.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
You will come across some wonderful things that you never knew you didn't know. Oh, goodness.
But this character of the Fawn and also the man, like the pale man with the hands, it's just like, it's kind of an iconic, you know, like this movie is very prescient in a lot of ways. I mean, not just even in the film community. I feel like it's a very like well-known movie, even if people haven't seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I had definitely, I don't know if I'd heard about it before being in Spanish class in high school. I mean, probably. But that was definitely when I had heard of it, because I just heard about how scary it was. And then, you know, you always hear about it. It's always brought up in one way or another.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's see if we got some trivia.
It also won 3 Oscars. It was nominated for 6 Oscars.
Wow.
So it was nominated for Best Foreign Language Film, Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures Original Score, Best Writing Original Screenplay for Guillermo del Toro, and it won for Best Achievement in Makeup, Best Achievement in Art Direction, and Best Achievement in Cinematography.
Ooh, very nice. And which one, did you say which ones it won?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you don't have to read that.
No. The listeners heard. So what, any cool trivia?
Let's see.
Apparently, the Fawn is inspired by a dream that Guillermo del Toro repeatedly had when he was a child.
Del Toro! let's see. It says, Guillermo del Toro is famous for compiling books full of notes and drawings about his ideas before turning them into film, something he regards as essential to the process. He left years' worth of notes for this film in the back of a cab and then discovered them missing. He thought it was the end of the project. However, the cab driver found them and, realizing their importance, tracked him down and returned them at great personal difficulty and expense.
Del Toro what?
Was convinced that this was a blessing, and it made him the ever more determined to complete the film.
Oh my God. My
goodness.
That's adorable. I love that. I love that story. Doug Jones was the only American on set and the only one who didn't speak Spanish, and director Guillermo del Toro was the only bilingual person on set, which is kind of crazy because I know Alfonso Cuarón also produced this movie, But maybe he wasn't on set all the time.
Oh, yeah, probably not. The English subtitles were translated and written by Guillermo himself. He no longer trusts translators after having encountered problems with his previous subtitled movies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, subtitles are tough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought that they did a pretty decent job just listening to the Spanish and, like, what I know of Spanish. I mean, it was pretty crazy how much I was really taking in. I know I've said before I've been learning Italian. And so, like, it's kind of making my Spanish better because Italian is very similar. And I'm, like, hearing it and listening and, like, learning Italian at the same time made me, like, hear more Spanish this time.
You know, you say that, but my Spanish didn't help me at all in Italy, Alessandra.
That's not true.
I Come know on. From experience. Remember, also I, really stole, I stole a piece of chocolate because I couldn't figure out how to pay the people.
Yeah, I know. And next pagó, time that won't happen.
Pagar was not the word for to pay in Italian.
No,
it's Italian.
Not. No.
It's not.
I'm really, like, trying to get better at it, but it's so hard. Like, Italian is much, personally, I think, more difficult than Spanish. I don't... Mm-hmm. Just because I'm going, as I go deeper and deeper into learning this and all the different tenses and things, I feel like I figured it out better when I was in Spanish class. And I'm kind of falling back on this knowledge of grammar rules that I learned in Spanish. And that's kind of keeping me afloat here. But,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to remember all of the vocab, especially with a lot of the verbs, because they are just confusing as all get out. I mean, I'm doing pretty good, but oh boy, it's come confusing.
Yeah, confusing, and you have to keep up with it or else you'll lose it.
Yeah, I have 40-day streak today, so.
Let's see. I kind of like this one, and then this will be the last one. The role of Ophelia was originally written for an eight or nine-year-old. Guillermo was so impressed with 11-year-old Ivana Baquero, that he revised it. The little girl was really good.
She was
a fantastic actress.
Yeah, do you see what she looks like now on her IMDb photo? She's like so old. She's the same age as me.
Old.
She's actually so old now. She's same age as us. 1994. Look at that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Wow. Same age as us. We're all old.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's see. Some plot keywords here. We've got fairy, maze, Spain, labyrinth, and hiding. There you go. There you go.
That's El Laberinto del Fano. Yes. Okay.
So
this movie.
So who was Pan? Pans. Was it
Pan is another name for a faun.
Okay. The faun's labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Metascore.
This movie got a 98 Metascore, Emily.
Damn.
It's got 37 positive reviews, no mixed reviews, and no negative reviews. Again, I'm going to reiterate.
Whoa.
It's a very good movie, okay? Like, it says on the Metascore it has universal acclaim.
Yeah, it does. Oh my goodness. Let's see.
There's a lot of 100s.
Okay. Let's see. The lowest it got was an 80, which it got 4 of them. So I'm going to read one of these. I'll do the Hollywood Reporter. The performers are all good with Baquero. Poised and beautiful as Ophelia, and Verdú Vital.
Vital and spirited.
That was not capitalized. It was not a last
Spanish
name.
Word.
And Verdú Vital. No. Vital and spirited as the rebellious Mercedes. Mercedes was really good too. Lopez gives an extraordinary performance as the bestial, bestial captain and irredeemable villain to rank with Ralph Fiennes' Nazi in Schindler's List. Wow.
That's, yeah, sure.
Wow. That's saying a lot.
I'm going to read just one of these many 100s from the premiere one, I guess. It says that this intense film, a mix of horror, fantasy, and history that convinces on all those levels and mixes them up with a dizzying brio, is a searing cinematic experience, a beautiful, terrifying vision from Guillermo del Toro.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah. It really is a very good movie. And it's just like, so, I guess it's kind of difficult to talk about because it's just like, here it is, a perfect movie, you know?
Yeah.
It just does such a good job. It's an amazing screenplay. It pulls you into this character's life and scenario, and it's just sad and you know, it's very good at like bringing you into this reality, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. It's pretty great. Pretty fun.
It's great. I'm really glad I watched it. This is why I'm sorry, there's like, I guess someone rang our doorbell and now my roommates are all at the door and I'm trying to overhear them. But
It's a fuss.
Might just be a package. But yeah, this movie was really good. I'm really glad we watched it. I really am enjoying, you know, we had to pause for the roulette wheel for a while, because of the Oscars and stuff, but,
oh yeah.
But, 6 months ago. It wasn't that long ago. But still, yeah, some time has passed. But yeah, we'll just continue doing this. There's some movies on here that I've never seen before, and I like watching all movies. I'm talking about all of them. Let's see. Should I spin the wheel? Let me see what's on here now. So from the months ago that we put this wheel together, after doing Pan's Labyrinth, there is now Pearl Harbor, Interview with a Vampire, Top Hat from 1935, Million Dollar Baby, Annie from 2014, Swiss Army Man, and that's it.
Okay, there's a lot of good stuff on there. A lot of bad stuff on there, but I'm excited. I don't know what to pick.
That was the point of this wheel, was to get either good stuff or bad stuff.
Okay, all right. Oh my god, do it. Okay. Do it.
Am I still recording this? Like, do I need to
record
this?
If you want. Only if this is going to be okay with you. If you can't, just skip it.
Well, I know how to do it. I wrote the instructions down. Okay.
Okay.
Window button plus G. Okay, I can do this. I figured it out. Okay, I'll just record it. Okay, here we go. All right. And we're spinning the wheel. All right, it's spinning! Which one do you think it is, Alessandra?
Oh, Pearl Harbor.
No, it's Top Hat from 1935. Yes.
Oh my god, that's excellent.
That's a musical. I'm so excited.
That's the one that's been on the longest.
Yes, it's been on here for a while. Oh my goodness.
Oh, great.
I'm so excited. Oh, I'm so excited. I have no idea where we're going to watch this, but we're going to watch it.
I truly know literally zero about this movie, so that's why I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I think I added this one to the list because it was in our musical section. Oh my goodness, I'm so excited.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's going to be fun. All right, so until next time, hopefully it won't take us forever to do the next episode. But that was Pan's Labyrinth, and we will be talking about Top Hat from 1935, next. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. We are also on Amazon Music and Spotify. and Acast. And if you want to follow our social media, we have Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Just search All By The Popcorn or All By The Popcorn Podcast. If you want to email us, you can email us at allbythepopcornpodcast@gmail.com. And we also have some merch, so please check that out. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you in the next one. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.